Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. There's a very, very, very old story about Bible Belt America, where somebody went to buy a horse to pull his little pony trap along. And being Bible Belt America, he managed to find a horse that had been trained that when you said hallelujah, it started to go. And when you said amen, it stopped. And after he'd bought this horse, it rained and it rained and it rained, and he never really had a chance to go out. But when the rain stopped, he had a chance to go out. So he loaded up his horse trap and he got in it and he said, giddy up, giddy up. And it did nothing at all. And he was getting up and then he said, ah, hallelujah. And the horse started going. And he thought, this is really good horse. It goes really, really fast. This is fantastic. And he was really enjoying it. But because of the rain, there'd been a big landslide. And he suddenly spotted ahead that the road had been washed away and it wasn't wide enough for his pony trap to go down. So he stopped the horse. Whoa, 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 whoa! And it wouldn't stop. He said, stop, stop! And it wouldn't stop. And then, amen! And it stopped. Just in the nick of time, and he breathed a sigh of relief that he'd been saved and said, yeah, you got it. Hallelujah. And I start with those two words because I've been asked to preach about being prayerful, and sometimes we make it a big thing. Sometimes our prayers can be one word. Amen. We can just say one word. And particularly when we're together, I would like to encourage you that when we pray together, you hear somebody praying, whether that's somebody in the platform or somebody in the congregation, you join in that prayer by saying, amen. Amen is a prayer that means, I agree, Lord, I pray that too. Yes, I'm with that. And hallelujah, as I'm sure many of you know, means praise the Lord. It's one word prayer. I want to praise God. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at our values, as Andy mentioned earlier. And today the focus is on prayerful. We want to be a prayerful church. I want to think about what it means to be a prayerful church. How can we be prayerful? Well, Jesus taught us how to pray. And I've shared this with you, with some of you already, but I did meet once, I was privileged to be in a conference where Richard Wurmbrand was speaking. And this is many years ago, I am very old. And it was Richard Wurmbrand had been persecuted. He'd been taken to prison in Romania for being a Christian, for being a pastor. And what they did in communist Romania in those days is that they tried to stop you being a Christian and alter your mind. Some of this is going on today in China. I hope you're aware that many Muslims have been taken away from their families and been settled into somewhere else to be educated by the state that they are completely wrong, religion is wrong, and they should just do what the state says. Well, he'd been doing that in Romania. And what they did in those days is they actually gave him some drugs to mess with his mind. And he said, you know, they messed with my mind so much, I couldn't even remember how to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. I just couldn't remember that. The only thing I could do was to pray, Our Father. But our prayers don't have to be long. It's a simple prayer. God is our Father. It's a prayer that we pray together, because Jesus didn't teach his disciples to pray, when you pray, pray this, my Father. No, it's our Father. It's something that we are to pray together. He is the Father of all of us. A special prayer. And a prayer that is not just for one race of people. It would have contrasted. What we perhaps don't realize is that when Jesus was teaching his disciples this, there were other teachers, other rabbis And they were teaching special prayers that only Jews could pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray Our Father. It's not just the God of the Jews, it's Our Father. Our Father in heaven. And what we pray for is that what happens in heaven should happen in earth. In heaven, God's name is hallowed. God's name is revered, is kept holy. And we pray, may your name be hallowed on earth as in heaven. In heaven, God reigns in his kingdom. And we pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is perfectly done. And we pray, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Something that we can all pray. And he taught us to pray for our daily bread. Not to pray to win the lottery, to have so much money we don't know what to do with, but enough for the day. And the word daily bread is a special word, and it means daily bread. And there was a time when people looked at this word and they said, you know, in the Bible, there's only one occurrence of this word in the whole Bible, so it's very difficult to know exactly what it means, because it's just in the middle of this. And nobody else seems to have used this word that we can find in all our manuscripts and papyruses and things that we've looked at. We can't find this word, daily bread. Perhaps it means something special, that we're to pray for godly, like manna from heaven, to come for us. And then somebody found a piece of pottery with something written on it, and it was a shopping list. And it said, amongst other things, daily bread. When we pray for daily bread, it means daily bread. Enough for what we need. Not the bare minimum. God is not a stingy God. But it's not for the whole week either. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. This prayer is twice in the New Testament. Sometimes it says sins, sometimes it says debts. And I think that's because in Aramaic or Hebrew, that maybe Jesus was kind of thinking, and even if he spoke in Greek, or it got written down in Greek, the same word is used for both. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And as we pray that, it ought to remind us that we do need to forgive one another. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. If we're really sorry, forgive us our sins, we don't want to do that again. And therefore we want to pray, God, help me not to do that again. Help me not to be tempted. Help me to go in the right path. And then, what did Jesus not say when he said, I want you to know how to pray? He didn't say, you need to wash yourself in a special ceremony before you can pray. I've got a picture here of some Ethiopian priests in the Coptic Ethiopian church. It's a very, very, very old church. If you remember, Philip met the Ethiopian in his chariot and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian church traced their beginnings back to that man. It's a very old church. And here's some Ethiopian Coptic priests, and they're all dressed up in the right sort of stuff, and they're carrying the right sort of staffs and so on. Jesus didn't say we have to be pray in a certain position. You have to kneel, or you have to put your face down, or you have to lift your hands up, or you have to lift your eyes up, or you have to close your eyes. All of those things are mentioned in the Bible, but Jesus didn't say that has to be done for us to pray. He didn't say we have to wear special clothes. He didn't say we have to go to a special place. Now, I would encourage you to find a place where you can pray, a place that is not distracting, but he didn't say you have to. And he didn't say you have to use a special language. One of the sad things about the Ethiopian Coptic Church is that they have their services in Ge'ez. And Ge'ez is a language that nobody speaks. It's the language from which the various languages in Ethiopia are related, and they all use the same alphabet. They use the Ge'ez alphabet. But nobody actually speaks it. But that's what they pray in their church. And Jesus didn't say you have to know a special prayer language to pray. It's not wrong for us to want to prepare to pray well. But it is a misconception, says Jim Packer, that tidiness, balance, and restraint are the essentials of godliness. The art of speaking to God is just to say things. And then we come to this parable that we just had read to us from Luke chapter 18 on page 1050. But perhaps you might like to watch this, because this is somebody retelling the story. The subtitles, I'm not sure anybody will understand, but the words, if you listen carefully, are actually in English.
Nor care what people thought. Every day he sits by the city gate, hearing a case brought to him. And there was a widow in that town that was being unfairly treated by someone after her husband died. She kept coming to the judge, asked him to help her. Your honor, grant me justice against my enemy, please. But unfortunately, the judge doesn't care about the widow or that she is being treated unfairly and refuses to listen. But the widow will not give up that easily, and the next time the judge is by the city gate, she is back. Again, the judge has no time for her or seeing that she is treated unfairly, and he asks her to go away. But the widow refuses to give up. And the next time the judge is working, she's back to pester him for justice. She tries to explain how unfairly she has been treated. But the judge has no time for the poor widow. Again, the widow refuses to give up. And the next time the judge is sitting, she's back again. She keeps bothering him, and the judge becomes afraid she will attack him. The judge realizes he will not get any peace until he listens to her and acts. And the widow gets her opportunity to tell him how a person has treated her unfairly. And finally, the judge agrees to sort out the problem so that she gets justice. Yes, the widow gets justice. The judge gives up and gives her what she wants. The widow celebrates that her pestering has brought her a fair hearing.
A different way of telling the story. I hope that was clear. But Jesus told this story and he said, well, if there was this unjust judge who didn't care about anybody or anything, and you get the sort of impression that maybe he was waiting for a bribe or something like that. He wasn't really bothered about justice at all. If this unjust judge responded to a woman just because she kept on, how much more will God, our loving Heavenly Father, our Father in Heaven, respond when we call out for justice? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We have this fantastic God. We have this fantastic opportunity to pray, but do we take the opportunity? Do we have the faith to do it? At the beginning of Luke chapter 18, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And I'm quite encouraged by that. Way back then, I mean, Jesus was there, and the disciples were already in danger of giving up in praying. And so Jesus told them this story to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then we get that in the Bible as well in Ephesians. Always keep on praying. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And I just want us to look at those phrases, in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. We pray in the Spirit. What does that mean, praying in the Spirit? Do we know how to pray in the Spirit? The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So this is praying, responding to God as our Father. When we become a Christian, God becomes our Father. We have his Spirit in us that helps us to know God as our Father. It's not really supposed to be more complicated than that. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can have great experiences of the Spirit. We can have times when we go through very dry times and it doesn't feel like the Spirit is with us. But we're encouraged to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. We pray with God as well as to God. God's Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And I think sometimes we get a bit hung up that we don't know what words to use, exactly what to pray. I mean, somebody's ill. Somebody's very old and they're ill. Should I pray that they get better? Or should I pray that they die peacefully? Or should I pray that God teaches something to them through their suffering? We sometimes don't know what to pray. The Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What sort of occasions might we pray in? We want to be a prayerful church. What sort of occasions should we pray? All of them. All occasions. So when we're in trouble, we pray. And that's perhaps the most obvious. That's the one that comes to us most naturally. That when we're in trouble, we pray. Something's gone wrong. Oh gosh, there's a hole in the roof. Lord, I'm going to have to pray about this. We're in trouble, we pray. James says this, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. We're encouraged to pray when we're in trouble. It's not an unspiritual thing to do. We sometimes get, well, I don't know, maybe it's just me, sort of think that really holy people, you know, they don't pray when they're in trouble, they just trust God. No, when you're in trouble, the Bible says you should pray. And in happy times, we should pray. Because our prayers are not just asking God to get us out of a mess, they're also thanking God when he's delivered us, thanking God for all the good things that we have enjoyed together. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Lots of our songs that we sing are actually prayers, if you look at the words. So we are to pray on all occasions, in trouble, in happy times, before meals. Please notice, this lady in the picture is not actually driving while she's praying. Notice on her lap, she's got some lunch. She stopped for lunch and she's giving thanks. And that's something that we can and should do. I was very privileged to be brought up in a Christian family, and we used to sometimes sing grace. And that's fine, as long as everybody knows the right tune, because I remember once we went to this conference with my parents and all these other missionaries, and they announced they were going to sing grace. They were going to sing Be Present at Our Table, Lord. I thought, we know this. So we started singing it. Everybody started singing it. The first line sounded all right, because the first line of two different tunes kind of sounded like they were in harmony. But then it kind of, yeah. Anyway, we can pray in all sorts of ways, all occasions. We should pray and give thanks before meals, before things that we have received. And it's a really good time to pray before the day starts. Lord, I've got all these things to do. Lord, be with me. Lord, show me the right things. I was really challenged by some of the stories we heard on the away day about these people who prayed, Lord, I'm going to pray about the seat next to me on the bus. I pray that you'd send me the right person to sit next to me on the bus, because here in Iran, we're not allowed to witness and we're not allowed to go on the street corner and preach, but I can talk to the person on the bus, so send me someone on the bus. And he said, and he prayed this, and he got on the bus, somebody got on next to him, and he said, oh, good morning, nice weather we're having. And the chap said, yes, it is. Now tell me about Jesus. God had answered his prayer. It's a good time to pray before the day. It's a good time to pray after the day. to give thanks to God. One of the things I'm doing at the moment that I found really helpful is to think of three things that I'm thankful to God for before I go to sleep. Three things I'm thankful to God for, and the fourth one is always to thank God for this church, that I'm part of this church, and for what God has helped me, how God has helped me through this church. So, on all occasions, pray in the Spirit, on all occasions. And that includes when we're in church. When we're in church praying, it means when we come together, we can pray together. And we've got opportunities to do that. We've got opportunity every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I know sometimes you sort of think 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning doesn't exist, it's so early. But it does exist, and the prayer room is open on a Sunday. And on Tuesday lunchtime, there's a prayer meeting. And once a month, on a Saturday morning, there's a prayer meeting. And there's opportunities to pray in our services, and there's opportunities to pray in home groups. This week is a home group week. Opportunities for us to meet and pray together. But we want to be a prayerful church, and that means not just when we meet together for a prayer meeting, or a meeting that's specially got to include prayer. Tony mentioned that we've got a annual general meeting coming up, and that's a business meeting. But we need to pray about that as well. We need to pray the right people are nominated, that the right people are elected to position, that the right decisions are made. So in everything, we want to be a prayerful church. Pray in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. So I've got a long list here, and if I'm preaching about prayer, perhaps the sign of success is I preach for until everybody's eyes are closed, and then I know you're all praying. So I'm not going to go through all of these different kinds of prayer, but just to illustrate the fact that there's lots and lots of kinds of prayer. Sometimes we're in trouble, sometimes there's just that instant prayer, like Nehemiah. He was serving the king, and the king said, your face is sad. Why is your face sad? And he says, I prayed to the Lord and answered. So it was a very quick prayer. Simple prayer. Sometimes we have a prayer of surrender. Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. Your will be done. Amen. Sometimes that's a prayer of tears or prayer of surrender. We're encouraged to pray all the time, unceasing prayer. We're encouraged to pray intercession, to come before God on behalf of someone else. We want to pray for people to be healed. We want to pray against evil and therefore authoritative prayer. We want to pray when we have communion together and baptisms and other sacraments. All kinds of prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Here's one prayer. There's lots of prayers in the Bible to encourage us to use them as patterns. And I did think of having a whole lot this morning, and I thought it'd probably just bamboozle you with the quantity of them. So I've just chosen one, and it's called the Prayer of Jabez. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, which is not really something we read very often, there's a whole list of people, you know, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so, and Jabez. And then it's a little bit of description about Jabez. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And Jabez was the father of so-and-so. So right in the middle is this lovely little thing. And it's an encouragement that we can pray this kind of prayer. It's in the Bible. That we can pray, God, bless me. How not to pray? Don't be like the hypocrites, Jesus said. They love to be seen in the synagogue. They love to be seen on the street corners. Don't be like the pagans. They think they'll be heard for their many words. That's how not to pray. But we are to pray on all occasions, in the Holy Spirit, with all kinds of prayers and requests. continually. Devoting ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's a whole sermon I could preach on being watchful and thankful. I'll just leave that with you to think about, being watchful and thankful. Jesus told another story about prayer, and it's very interesting. In Luke's Gospel, we have pairs of stories. Sometimes it's a story about a woman and another story about a man. So we've just been thinking about the story about the woman who went to the judge. And there's a similar story with a man who went to his friend. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." And he goes on to say, and the friend says, "No, I'm in bed and with the animals all tucked up as well." God's door is not locked. God is not having a day off. God has caller ID on the phone, but he still answers it. Luke chapter 11. This person was praying for somebody else's needs. He said, I've had a visitor come to visit me, and I don't have enough to put on the table. I've got a friend coming, and I would like for 3 loaves. And he's praying on behalf of someone else. And Jesus said, won't that man eventually get out of bed and give him as much as he needs? So we're being taught not to pray just for ourselves. We can pray the prayer of Jabez, that's not wrong. But we can also and should also pray for others. And 3 loaves, that was a pretty generous meal to put before a friend. More than the bare minimum we can pray for. Will he not get up and give you as much as he needs? Jesus said in his story. In James it says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives to spend on your pleasures. So we want to pray in the Spirit. We want to pray the way God wants us to pray. And we want to have answers for ourselves and for other people. In Acts, we read about the early church, how the church prayed. And it's quite interesting that a lot of the times we read about people praying in Acts, they're praying together as a church. And a lot of times when they're praying, it talks about the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't have time to go through all of these, but I've just listed some of them. The 120 were praying together at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came. The disciples prayed together about replacing Judas. When they were threatened, Acts chapter 4, that our memory verse comes from this year, the church was praying together and praying for boldness, and the place where they were praying was shaken. The church prayed over the 7 people to serve the widows. When Peter was in prison, the church prayed. You remember that time when they were so busy praying that they ignored the person knocking on the door, which was Peter. As they were praying, Paul and Barnabas were called. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit to set apart people to go and be ministering in another part of the world. Paul and Silas were praying in jail at Philippi. Again, let me say I'm not disparaging praying personal private prayers, because Ananias was praying alone when God instructed him to go to Saul. Peter was alone on the rooftop when he had his famous vision, leading him to share the gospel with a Gentile. But the majority of God's recorded workings in Acts came when his people prayed together. The majority of God's recorded workings came when his people prayed together. We want to be with that sort of a church. People praying together. And when I say a church, people praying together, I don't mean we have to come inside these brick walls to pray, because that's the church building. I mean the church. And we can pray together even when we're in separate parts. We can all be praying together. The majority of God's recorded workings came when his people prayed together. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Matt preached to us a couple of weeks ago about asking, seeking, and knocking. And if you look at the original language, you'll see that those promises about asking, seeking, and knocking are all about you all, not for us individually, but for us together. Reasons for us to pray together? We have these special promises. If two of you agree on earth, we are encouraged by other people. We have the opportunity to encourage others. It joins us together. It works. So why don't we do it? I've shown some of you this before. What stops us praying is not really very logical. It's about as logical as 10 reasons why I don't wash. We have all these promises from God about prayer, and we don't take advantage of them. We don't use them, sometimes for very illogical reasons. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.